ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Another point about the demons establishing the glory of the Lord more is their intensity, which Narad Muni comments in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. So the demons, they have such intensity of focus on Krishna, even though it's in the wrong way. Devotees who are trying to be Krishna conscious, it's like they're sometimes thinking about Krishna, sometimes not thinking and trying to concentrate their minds, but for the full-fledged 100% demons, they never have a problem about not thinking about Krishna. They're always thinking about Krishna extremely intensely, but in the wrong way. Another point about how the Hiranyakashipu more than Prahlad establishes the glories of Nrisimha, how more than Hanuman Ravana establishes the glory of Ram. Yeah, of course, true in one sense, which has been pointed out, but only the devotees can appreciate how the demons establish the glories of the Lord, because the demons, they don't accept that they're establishing the glories of the Lord. If they thought that by their inimical activities toward him, they were doing anything to help him or to anything in his service, they'd just retire from it altogether. rather than not glorify him, they'd prefer to take a neutral position and just ignore him. If they thought that by their opposition to him, they were giving him any prominence. That's why sometimes it's said that it's better not if people who make comments about us, it's the best thing just to ignore them in many cases, because if you respond to them, you give them credence. So, and we see practically in the internet world connected with ISKCON that some people become prominent just by yelling and screaming on the internet, although they have, in their own personal life, they have no, that's all they do. I mean, what's their devotional service? That's it. That's all. Of course, I'm not saying that everything that goes out on the internet is wrong or bad, but there have been some devotees who have come to prominence only because of their misguided statements like that. So there's a saying in Bengali which Srila Prabhupada quoted once, so I'll take the liberty of re-quoting it here. It's a slightly vulgar. That if by farting someone could help you, they'd hold it in. So the demons, they don't want to help Krishna. So they're not thinking that they are, they're not thinking that they're glorifying the Lord, but the devotee, it takes the devotee to appreciate that. So it's ultimately, of course, the position of the devotees is far, in all respects, more exalted than that of the demons. But that's a typical contentious way of making a point that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was known for. And at the end of that sermon, it says that the Gauriya Math is also adopting this method in its propaganda. So that doesn't mean that the Gauriya Math were inimical to Krishna, but the negative method. In other words, by pointing out the iniquities of the bogus so-called Vaishnavas, of the Mayavadis, of the empiricists, and of everyone else who is either not Krishna conscious at all, or Krishna conscious in a perverse manner. That was the Gauriya Math's method of preaching, and that article was, a major point of that article was to uphold that, the negative method. And he's saying that it's, especially in this controversial age, this Kali Yuga, it's a better way of preaching than the positive method. So it's, the positive method being simply to glorify the Lord and His qualities directly, but more effective is to, or required, is to point out all that is not Krishna conscious. So, having said that,
I'll go over to the positive method of glorifying the names of Vishnu. I do a lot of the negative method, but I'm also going through this Vishnu Sahasranama so that we can consider what are the names. It's Nama Guna Rupa Lila. So if we consider what are the names, then we have to consider the form, because the name is connected with the form. The name, how many names can you give to something formless? But Krishna, the very form, the personality of Krishna, there are so many names connected with the name of Krishna. Sundara Rupa, Shama Sundara, Achintya Guna Swarupam, and so on. Names Padmanabha, Padmaksha, these are all names connected with the form of Krishna. Then his qualities and his pastimes. So if we consider the names, then automatically we come to consider the qualities, the forms and the pastimes and the associates of the Supreme Lord and his abode and everything, his potencies, which also these potencies falls within his qualities. So name 59, Lohitaksha, red eyes. It literally means red eye. This is the second name in Vishnu Sahasranama, which describes the eyes of the Lord. Previous to this, there is also Pundarikaksha, which means he has eyes like a lotus flower. Lohita means red. So he has red eyes. So why red? Well, the commentators say that this redness can be from considered just like the reddish lotus flower, so his eye is like that. That is described in the Nectar of Devotion, the different parts of his body that are red, his feet, his hand. You see, Krishna has red feet and red underneath. That's still a custom among Hindu ladies in Bengal and Orissa, and used to be in North India and other parts of India also, to paint the feet with some red dye. That's why you'll see the descriptions of Radharani, her feet with red lac dye. So that's called altar in Bengali, and it's considered auspicious. But like everything else, it's being given up, and the women are becoming westernized to their great detriment. So Krishna's feet are naturally red. His eyes are red. Now, who's got red eyes? You see, humans have red eyes also. through tiredness, that's quite common. Too much partying. Yeah. And through anger. So the commentators, they say it's that connects with the next name, Pratardana, which means the destroyer, so out of anger. But for those who are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they know all the inner secrets. So too much partying. Krishna comes in at early in the morning, just before his mother comes in to wake him up. But he hasn't been asleep all night. He's been up all night partying. So he may have red eyes from this also. Another very nice explanation is that just like you see, the eyes may become red out of anger. Also from rubbing the eyes. If one is crying and you rub the eyes, they become red. So that out of that extreme anger, it's out of that emotion of anger, because it's such an intense emotion, the eyes become red. So similarly, out of extreme joy, any extreme emotion, when one is extremely emotional or highly emotional, one may cry in anger, in disappointment, in joy. So tears are one symptom of much emotion. And further stages if the eyes become red. So these are some considerations of Krishna being red-eyed. So the next name is described Pratardana, which means the destroyer. Now, the function of destruction in this material world is connected with Lord Shiva. He's known as the destroyer. But ultimately, everything is done by Vishnu. And anyway, Shiva is an aspect of Vishnu. So, pratarda means complete or extreme destruction. I mean, anyone can be a destroyer, as every mother knows. Children, they exhibit qualities of Lord Shiva. If you leave them alone for one nanosecond, they'll break everything within sight, including possibly their own head, because they don't have developed discrimination. So everyone can destroy. To destroy, that's within the capacity of everyone to do so. Generally, destruction is not considered very good. Creation is considered good. Destruction is also sometimes necessary. If, for instance, if a house is unsafe, it should be, according to, at least in this country, a house should be destroyed rather than people live in it at the risk of it falling on their head and killing them. So, destruction is sometimes necessary, but when Krishna destroys, he doesn't destroy just a little house or something like that, but the whole universe. There's a statement in the Kathopanishad, Yasya Brahma cha kshatram cha ubhe bhavata. Here it's written, Odana. That's Ardana. He who has his food, the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas, he eats them. So everyone enters into Krishna, just like in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, seeing the universal form, says that he sees all the universe entering into Krishna and being destroyed. So that is also one of the functions of one of the things that Krishna does. It's always, from our perspective, it's good for us to remember that everything will be destroyed. Everything in this world will be destroyed. Nothing will remain. So then why should we be attached to anything? When we remember that everything is temporary, then we won't be attached to anything. Smaran nityam anityatvam. You should always remember that everything in this world is temporary, but beyond that there is Krishna, who is eternal. So not to be attached to anything in this world and be attached only to Krishna. Another important understanding of this name is that Krishna, he destroys, so there are different kinds of destruction or annihilation, which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. There is the one at every day of Brahma, the planetary systems, up as far as the heavenly planets are destroyed. The planets of the rishis are not destroyed. Then at the end of the life of Brahma, the whole universe is destroyed. So that's, then there's another kind of destruction that is going on constantly. At every moment, there is destruction going on. Even though we can't see it or perceive it, at the cellular level, at the molecular level, destruction is going on. Every moment that passes is gone. And the whole matrix of existence that was present at that moment, of course you can't define one moment exactly, just like you can't define a point. A point is it's a concept. If you put a point on a piece of paper, that's supposed to be like in trigonometry or something, but the point is actually not a point. It has a shape, it has a form, even though it's very small. So the point is, as soon as you try to make a point on the paper, there's not a point, because the point is, as soon as you put any size to it, it's not a point. So like that, any moment, what is a moment? If you say a moment is like that, 1 nanosecond, but a nanosecond has a beginning and an end. So it's not, it's a duration of time. Anyway, I'm going to stupid Buddhist's ideas. I won't discuss that. But anyway, destruction is going on constantly. At every moment. Each moment that passes is gone. And everything that was existent at that moment is gone. Yeah, that's a Buddhist idea, that there's no actual continuation. That's one of the strange philosophies that comes out of Buddhism. They're trying to explain how nothing really exists. That each moment, one moment is gone, so, and the next moment, it's all new. Because they don't see any continuous principle. They deny any existence, so they deny any continuous principle. So, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Krishna is the basis of that Brahman which holds everything together. That's an interesting one for the scientists now with their so-called Higgs boson. They've discovered that which holds all the universe together. But that doesn't explain the time dimension. Why or how the time dimension functions, and it's still the scientists, for all they made so-called discover, they can never say why anything exists, and therefore they just relegate that question to the realm of insignificance, when actually it's the only significant question. If we are going to study the nature of this material, why does anything exist? But that the they'll ask what, how, when, where. But the question why is ultimately anything in existence? They just completely avoid that question. So there's destruction at the end of a day of Brahma, there's destruction at the end of the life of Brahma, which is like tremendous, from our perspective, these are tremendously long periods of time. There's destruction at every moment, and then there's the ultimate destruction, which is the destruction of material existence, which happens for individual jivas who become liberated from it. So that is effected by the mercy of Mukunda, Krishna. So in that way, he's the destroyer also. Of course, everything he does is benevolent, but destruction doesn't seem to be a very auspicious function, but destruction of material existence, that is Krishna's great mercy on the jivas. So, name 61, Prabhuta. It's not Prabhu, it's Prabhuta.
Which means one who is affluent, ever full, and endowed with wisdom, greatness, and all other qualities. So this is similar to Bhagavan, who is full of all auspicious qualities. That's the meaning of Bhagavan. This word literally means born full, or fully come into being. Pra is the prefix, which means fullness, completeness, and bhuta means having come into being. Even though Bhagavan destroys everything at the time of universal annihilation, still his fullness remains. So, he's full of all transcendental qualities. So Krishna is full, complete. That name will come later. Purna, Om Purna Madaha, Purnamidam, Purna, Purnam, Udachati, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vishishati. So that will be discussed in more detail later in the name Purna in Vishnu Sahasranam. So any questions about this?
About the Buddhist conception of saying there's no continuum.
Doesn't make any sense.
It sounds a bit gross, but how do you explain a fist in the face?
That's the best way to discuss it with them.
That's all I can say, you know. Yeah.
That's why Sharma Shilpa would often say, kick them in the face with the boot. They have no reasonable philosophy, so when they talk all nonsense, then can bring them to the platform of reality by kicking in the face with the boot. Not that Srila Prabhupada actually literally did it ever, but he employed that as a tool in discussion. When people just talk too much nonsense, then how do you discuss with them? We've all had this experience. I once in London, I was explaining to someone the example of this, the soul in the body. And I said, the car and the driver. I was explaining this. And he said, well, you're supposed to be holy people. Why are you using cars? How can you discuss with such a person? You know, there's no logical connections within their brain. So, actually, such a person, he wouldn't kick them in the face with a boot. Put some prasada in their mouth, pat them on the back, and wish them the best. No use to discuss with such people. Maharaj,
in a Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that the universe upon the destruction, the matter is present in the form of elementary particles.
Elementary particles?
Yeah, elementary, undivided. Yeah, simplest particles.
Well, not exactly particles in the sense of modern scientists.
Well, that's the question she wants to ask. And this particle is described as undivided. So it's impossible to divide further to more simpler particles or elements, whatever we call them. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is translated as atom. Is it?
Yeah.
So question is, from the point of the modern science, atom is dividable.
Well, that's a mistake that was made long ago in science. Because the word atom literally means the smallest possible particle. And they thought they'd discovered it. And then later they discovered that there are smaller things yet.
Neutrons.
So that's a linguistic mistake that got adopted into the English language due to their premature enthusiasm of having thought that they discovered the smallest possible particle, and then they discovered they're smaller yet. But they'll never find the smallest possible thing because he is not subject to their investigation. He is the smallest. He enters into the that word is there in Sanskrit, paramanu, means that the most small thing. That's the word for atom. And Krishna enters into that concept. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. He enters within the universe, he enters within the atom.
In this case, also it is mentioned that three of these atoms together are visible floating in a... How is this possible? We cannot see even atoms.
Tell you the truth, I don't answer that because I don't know. And the whole realm of Vedic science requires a lot of research to understand. And it's probably more difficult for us to understand because we have some background of Western science. So it's a major field that Srila Prabhupada did want to investigate it. If there were some of our few scientists around, then they might be able to answer that. But I can't because I don't know. I take it on the basis of Shastra, but exactly how, I don't know. It requires research. You want to say something about that?
Could you explain what's the difference between the negative method, especially when applied towards the other Vaishnavas, as you said, adopted by Gaudiya Vaishnavas?
Negative method applied to Vaishnavas. Well, we have to be more careful.
What's the difference between negative method and being offensive?
The negative method and being offensive. Fine line. Fine line is there. If one is pointing out discrepancies in Vaishnav society for the benefit of all concerned, that should not be offensive, but it can be offensive if the Vaishnavas concerned also become offended. Then it's offensive. Whether your intention is to be offensive or not, if they're offended, you also become offensive. So it's a risk, because that's also required, that someone has to point out. So if there are discrepancies, someone has to point it out, and they may suffer from doing so also. So one has to be very well situated in order to do so. That's why I said I'm also taking up this Vishnu Sahasranama, because I also need some balance in my life, because in Vishnu Sahasranama it's directly praise of Krishna, but otherwise I'm much concerned with various discrepancies as I perceive them in our movement. But if I only talk about that, then I also may lose my bearings. And so we have to be careful. Anything else? No. Alright. So, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Shri Shri Gaurinitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Govinda Ki Jai, Samanita Bhaktavinda Ki Jai, Hare Krishna.